This morning, we will be looking at the book of Genesis.
今天我们讲的这堂道呢，就是一般我们的方式来讲道。It's not normal case.
Today's message is not our normal practice.
我过去当然跟大家用一堂讲过哪红书。
Last week, we took one session to preach through the entire book of Nahum.
我们也曾经用过一堂讲约拿书。
We've also taken one session, one week, to talk through the entire book of Jonah.
所以你也知道，这个是可能的，但是这一次呢，我要用一堂讲完整本创世纪。
So it's happened before and you're familiar with it. It's not our usual practice, however, you are familiar with it.This week, we will take one session to look at the entire book of Genesis.
所以我想你可能会觉得很奇怪，能够一堂讲完整本创世纪五十章吗？
And so you might be thinking, how is it possible that we can go through all 50 chapters of Genesis in one sitting?
是的，我要做一个很非常艰难的工作，但是我盼望给你看到你平时没有看到的功课。
So yes, it's going to be a challenge, but I do want to have you see the things that you don't always see.
当然，我们大家都知道，我们弟兄们已经在接受了挑战，过去把新约看了很多遍。
Now as you know, the brothers in this church have taken on the challenge of reading through the New Testament.
那么安哥罗伯这个 New Testament 这个新约圣经已经读超过15遍，现在不止15遍了吧？16遍。
And also, you may have also heard that our very own Uncle Robert has read through the New Testament 16 times now.
16遍。
16 times.
我不敢请你们举手，多少人读过16遍
？I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, those of you who have read
如果 Uncle Robert 可以读16遍，我们应该可以读一遍吧
？But if Uncle Robert can do it 16 times, I think we can do it once.
但是我知道我们当中很多弟兄已经读把新约已经读过一遍了。
Of course, I know that amongst us there are many brothers who have already read through the New Testament.
那么明年我们会开始读旧约。
Next year, we will begin to read the Old Testament.
所以我盼望今天的讲道呢，能够提醒你，或者是使你更加有兴趣去读，开始读这个旧约的创世纪。
And so I hope that today's message will inspire you to begin reading the Old Testament.
就是让我们开始读圣经，而且熟读圣经。
That we might begin reading the Bible and in fact become make it a habit of reading the Bible.
而且呢，我们在读的时候呢，能够更好的了解神的话。
And of course, in the process, that we might come to better understand God's word.
所以在当大家在读，我们现在在介绍大家听用手机的那个 YouVersion， 来一边听一边读。
We're doing this through the mobile app called YouVersion, and you can listen to the reading of God's word as well as read it at the same time.
那么，当我们来到创世纪的时候，我盼望我能够讲创世纪；来到出埃及的时候，我们讲出埃及记。所以这样的话呢，能够帮助你先了解一个概要，然后去读的时候呢，你能够更好的掌握那个圣经。
And I hope that we'll be able to arrange it such that as you're going through the book of Genesis, as you're reading through the book of Genesis, we will preach the book of Genesis. As you're reading through Exodus, for example, we'll preach Exodus. And as we come to it, you will already have a general idea of what the book is about.
当然，这个是我们的盼望，做得到做不到还是另外一回事情。
This is of course our wish, and whether or not this actually happens, we'll see.
所以你们需要祷告。
So you must be praying for us.
然后我们盼望能够引导大家来一起明白圣经。
And our hope is that we will guide everyone here to understand the Bible together.
所以圣经创世纪五十章到底在讲什么
？So what are the 50 chapters of Genesis saying to us?
所以整本创世纪到底它要告诉我们什么
？And what does the whole book of Genesis say?
但你要知道，创世纪是摩西五经的第一本书。
You have to understand, first of all, that the book of Genesis is the first book of the five books of Moses.
同时呢, 也是整本圣经的第一本。
It is also the first book of the entire Bible.
圣经那个创世纪在希伯来文里面呢, 是指, in the beginning.
The word Genesis in Hebrew means in the beginning.
Barashit. 这个是开始的时候在 这个它的希腊翻译的英文是翻译成origin或者原始
and the word barashit is it means origin
所以但是我们在看的时候呢创世纪到底要讲什么呢当我们在看很多小小小小每很多很多的故事的时候呢我们忽略了它原来更高的更大的这个 grand story 它的更
The tendency for us is as we go from one story to the next in the book of Genesis, we miss the grand narrative.
所以呢，我现在就要给你看，我们在讲的时候，今天像我讲这个不是typical sermon， 不是一般上我讲道的方式，不过我想。 我们的几个带领的弟兄呢，都说要晋升，要更进一步。我好像有意思告诉我，我给你们吃的不够，所以要提高这个水准，所以我们来提高这个水准。Now
again, I said that this is not our typical message, but a few brothers in the church have said that we need to challenge ourselves and to better understand God's word, and so this is what we're trying to do today.
所以我们要给大家讲了一个，这个叫做你在圣经里面有很多小小的故事，但是它整个大故事是什么呢？
Now as we approach the Bible, we see that there are many small stories, but what does the grand narrative tell us?
所以这个就是我要今天要跟大家讲的。And
that's what I want to share with you today.
这边有一个字呢，这个叫做 meta narrative， 这个是一个法国人在19世纪、第20世纪里面讲的一句话，就是说。 Meta 就是 beyond， 就是在超越小小的故事，更大的故事是什么
？The first word that we see on the screen is meta narrative， and this was coined by a French person sometime in the 20th century. And the word meta means to go beyond， and it refers to the narrative that is overarching.
所以我们要在读圣经的时候，特别是你在读创世纪的时候，有很多小小的故事，但是它整个大故事要讲什么？And
so as we go through the book of Genesis, you will find that there are all these small stories, but when you put them together, what does the big story tell us?
所以有时候我们叫做 mega， 就是更大的、更广的 mega narrative.
The other word for it is the mega narrative.
当然我们要知道历史呢。 基本上呢，我们在读历史的时候，历史是很多小故事加起来成为一个大故事。And
it's like the course of history, which is made up of all these individual stories.
你要知道那一代的历史，你要知道很多个人的小故事，你就加起来就成为一个大故事。And
for you to understand the history of a specific age, you need to put the stories of this particular age together to understand it.
但是我稍微提一提，Kevin。 Meta narrative 呢，这个字呢，基本上呢，这个Michael Holden 讲，基本上他说这个字呢，是这个哲学家 philosopher 他用这个字的时候，其实是反对有这个大故事，就是说我们知道在历史里面呢有一个大故事，现在的 postmodernism 后现代主义的人。 不赞成有大故事，人就是好像随波逐流，摇来摇去，没有一个 organized 或者一个有组织性、有方向的一个历史的进程。
Now I just want to introduce a caveat here as we use this term meta narrative, because when it was coined as in opposition to the idea that there is in fact a mega narrative, a narrative that brings all these little stories together. It is in fact a position of the postmodern scholars who believe that there isn't a mega narrative, but stories on their own.
但是整本圣经不只是创世纪，有一个更大的故事，我们叫做这个是神上帝的故事。
But the Bible has an overarching story, and it is the story of God, or as I call it, the mega narrative of God.
所以我们在讲创世纪，是这个整个大故事的开始呢？怎么开始呢？就是从创世纪来开始。
And this mega narrative starts from the book of Genesis.
所以当我们在读的时候呢，我们要知道，你读了很多小小的事情的时候呢，你要知道这里这个创世纪这本书呢，非常的重要。
Now, as we go through the book of Genesis and as you are dealing with these individual stories, you have to keep in mind, at the back of your mind, that there is this mega narrative. It's so important.
所以这些小小的故事加起来就成为一个 beyond 这个更大的故事，这个更大的故事要讲什么呢？
Together, these stories paint a bigger picture, a picture that we need to find out what that story is.
所以上个礼拜呢，我们在这里有人问那个问题，就是说。 摩西五经应该是 Pentateuch 是一个这个是讲的是law the book of law 就是摩西这个是五经这个是律法书，它的题材是律法书呢还是叙述文 narrative 呢
？Now last week when we had a Q&A on Genesis, one of the questions was that the Pentateuch, what genre is it? Is it law or is it narrative?
所以这个是个很好的问题。所以我们在读这个摩西五经的时候，当然我们在摩西五经最多提到 local 或者是律法的这个章节这个条例的时候呢，是出埃及记20章到这个利未记，然后生命记这些呢都是律法的 local 或者是它的律法的条规。 但是你要知道，整本这个摩西五经是以 narrative 或是以故事性来包含在这个 logo， 这个 logo 是被这个故事来包含住，来衬托出来的。Now
obviously, as you read through the Pentateuch, you will see that a large majority of it, a large proportion of it, does deal with the law code. However, it is wrapped up in narrative.
所以这个。 这个我们怎么样解释这个摩西五经呢？基本上它是以一个叙述文 narrative 的方式来呈现。So
how do we approach the Pentateuch? We have to see it as indeed the law code, but using the structure of narrative.
所以我们就从这个，所以摩西五经呢，基本上是用叙述文的手法来解释的整个。
What this means is that we need to look at it from the perspective of narrative. Look at the Pentateuch from that perspective.
我们跟大家说，怎么样研究这个叙述文字的故事的文章怎么来解释呢？我们必须要用它的，它要知道它的结构。Now
we've talked about this before. What is the structure of the narrative?
当然，你在读书信的时候，你要知道写信的人写给收信的人，然后他是在什么情况下，为什么要写这个问题，所以逻辑性很强。Now,
when you're dealing with an epistle, for example, you need to understand various things such as who the author is, who the recipient is, and there is a strong emphasis on logic.
那么来到写故事的时候呢，我们很，它的方式，它的结构就不一样的 ，elements of narrative 都不大一样。
However, when you start to deal with narrative, you'll find that the elements of the narrative are quite different.
他很注意，如果你注意到呢，在讲到故事的时候，你很注意到它的场景，它的 setting， 在什么情况下发生这些事情。那么它的主角是谁？
And in the narrative, these points are key. First, the setting. Where is the story set? Second is are the characters.
所以在创世纪，它的背景呢，它场景呢，就是神创造世界万物，这个就是它的 setting.
And in Genesis, the setting or the background is that God's creation or God has created this land.
所以整个世界呢，是神创造，成为他的场景，他的背景，然后里面他就创造出这个亚当夏娃。
And against this backdrop, or against this setting of creation, God creates Adam and Eve.
所以当然你认为那个主角呢，就是亚当跟夏娃，对吗？
So your assumption is that Adam and Eve are the protagonists.
但是呢，我告诉你不是，
that's not true.
你要知道整本圣经的主角是谁呢？是神跟撒旦之间的争战。
You need to understand that the whole Bible's protagonist is God, and it's his antagonist is the devil.
圣经作者有一个这个 scholar 一个圣经学者这么说，神呢是 pervasive present， 就是说这个整本圣经很存在最多的呢，就是神才是他的主角。
And the Bible scholar said that God has a pervasive presence throughout the Bible, and that underscores the fact that He is the protagonist of the Bible.
所以当我们在读创世纪的时候，你会发现里面出现很多亚当、夏娃、这个该隐、亚波，你看见挪亚，你看见很多人物。你要知道这些背后有一个更大的故事，那个故事是什么？我盼望你注意这个，因为你在解经的时候呢，你只会通常你看得很细。你会看到树，但是你没有看到那个树林。You miss the forest with the tree.
And so as you go through Genesis and you meet these characters, Adam, Eve, Cain and Abel, Noah, you need to not lose sight of that big story that it is all these characters are set against. You cannot miss the forest for the trees.
所以你要注意的时候，当你在读，我知道当我们在读创世纪的时候，我们很注意这些小，但是呢，我们很容易忽略了那个更大的故事。所以今天这堂道的目的是让你看到那个大故事。
Now there's a tendency for us when we do our Bible study to hone in on specific details, and miss that big picture. Today's message really is to take you one step back so that you see that grand picture.
我要让你看到创世纪背后那个大故事，不单是创世纪，是整本圣经那个大故事是什么。
I don't just want you to see the big picture of Genesis, I want you to see the big picture of the Bible.
所以基本上整个大故事是什么呢？整本圣经或者是整个神的故事是什么呢？首先有创造，然后呢，我们就看到人的堕落，然后呢，我们一看到耶稣基督的救赎。结果呢，来到启示录的时候，我们可以看到它的还原，回去到神原本的创造。我们要看到我们的问题是，神创造人之后失败了吗？答案是什么？就在启示录后面所要讲的。
And so these are the building blocks of the grand story of God. First, you have your creation, excuse me, and then you have your fall, and then you have the redemption of Jesus Christ.And finally, we come to restoration, which we will see at the very end of the Bible in the book of Revelation. And we want to deal with the question, has God failed in the creation of man?
所以当我们讲到 plot 的时候呢，就是说当我们讲到整个情节，我们在解释故事的时候，我们要知道它的背景，它的人物，然后呢，我们要看到它的情节如何发展呢？这个 plot 基本上就是这样，它有一个平行，它有一个开始，然后呢出现问题，出现问题之后采取什么行动，然后呢来到故事的高潮，最后它又恢复平静。
Now with a typical plot of a story, you will see that there is a beginning, and then a problem arises, there is rising action, and then the story reaches its climax beforeThere is a falling action and then a conclusion.
我可以告诉你，上帝神在写这个故事的时候非常厉害，他是非常好的一个写故事的专家。
And I want you to know that God is an expert at storytelling.
他不但写故事，而且他有这个能力使到故事成为真实。
Not only that, he doesn't just tell the story.He has power to make sure that story becomes reality.
人类的历史就是神的故事。
And the history of man really is part of the story of God.
所以整个故事里面看到神怎么样来策划整个事情的发生，然后呢，我们要知道它的最后到底是，你看创世纪一开始的时候，神创造世界美好的第二章就出现问题了，因为他就犯罪，整个事情这个 new twist 这个突然间出现的这个情况呢，使到整个故事非常的生动。
And you'll see this plot movement from the very start. Right after God creates, there is the fall, and there is this twist, and it draws you into the story.
然后呢，他人失败了就完了吗？他怎么样发展？怎么样发展？这个就是我们要让大家去设想的。
And when there is the fall, is all lost?Or does it continue to develop?
然后我们要问的就是在解释叙述文，那个 element of narrative 的时候，我们要看它的背景，我们看它的人物，我们要看情节发展之后呢，我们要知道它的主题到底是什么。
But there are other aspects of a narrative other than setting and characters. There is the plot, there is also the theme.
所以然后我们要知道它到底整个故事，创世纪到底要讲什么呢？
The next thing is what the whole point of the story is.
当然就从它的情节里面去看。
And of course you will see this unfold in the story.
同时呢，我们要看那个 editorial comment 或者是说它的视角从用什么角度看这个问题，然后呢从他们人物的对话里面。 就衬托出他要讲的故事的主题是什么。
There are also editorial comments that we've seen that come from the author, and then we look at how things unfold through the use of dialogue.
所以这个就是给我们看出，原来这个是故事的结构，我们就按照这个故事的结构呢，去看所有的故事，然后呢，我们去看创世纪，因为创世纪是叙述文，是故事，是 narrative， 这样去分析呢，我们就能够得到他要讲的。
Now, if we're able to understand these elements of a narrative, we can then use this framework and look at Genesis to better understand what it's all about.
我们很喜欢故事。
We all love stories.
但是故事最后呢，通常不告诉你它的结局。
But often, at the end of a narrative, it doesn't point out to you what the point is.
它要你去自己达到这个结论。
No, in fact, what it does is it gets you to arrive at the conclusion.
好的老师不告诉你答案，他要你自己得到答案，你自己找出那个答案，你 own the answer.
It's like a teacher. A good teacher doesn't just tell you what the answer is. He teaches you and he helps you own the answer.
所以创世纪重要吗？
So is the book of Genesis important?
Very, very important. 非常的重要。
It's very important.
为什么呢？它给我们一个很重要的观念。
Why? Because it gives us a very important concept.
什么观念呢？
What is this concept?
无当修案。 它给我们世界观。
It gives us a world view.
这个很重要，就是说它给我们原来这个世界是怎么样造成的。
It tells us how this world came to be.
这个是一个德文哲学家就用这个德文来形容。 整个世界的，你有世界观，你怎么看世界？这个世界是怎么样的世界？这个就是你的世界观。
And this German word means your view of the world. It's everyone has a worldview. As long as you have an opinion about the world, you have a worldview.
请问这个世界越来越好还是越来越坏？
So the question is this world getting better or getting worse?
你认为这个世界越来越好吗？
What do you think? Is it getting better?
这个世界越来越坏吗？
Or is it getting worse?
我们从哪里来，我们往哪里去？
Where did we come from and where are we going?
这个就是你的世界观。
This is your worldview.
当我们看今天的世界，
When we look at the world today,
我们有很多美国朋友在这里。
We have a lot of American friends here with us today.
今天的美国比以前好吗？ President Trump很好吗？
Is today's America better than America of the past? Is President Trump doing a good job?
看他们一笑你就知道。
I mean, I think you can tell from their smiles and laughs.
英国很好吗？
Is England a great country?
啊，今天的英国那个 Brexit 那个打来打去，他们那个要脱欧，闹到乱七八糟，现在连那个总理都不知道应该要怎么做。
There's so much chaos happening in Britain right now that even the Prime Minister does not know what to do.
这个 Brexit 要脱欧这个问题啊，这个很大的问题，不知道要怎么解决。
And of course, the whole issue of Brexit is such a big issue that no one really has the answer.
今天的法国很好吗？
What about France?
今天已经法国那个 demonstration 那个动乱已经有接近一个月了，在那边大吵大吵，那个法国总统也没有办法。
Today, the demonstrations in France have lasted about a month already. And the government has no idea how to deal with the issues.
好，今天的中国很好吗？
Or China? What about China?
哇，今天的中国出现很多问题。现在连加拿大把一个中国的这个华为的这个副总裁这个抓起来，你抓我的人，我又抓你的人，你个世界好不好？你说。
China is full of chaos as well. And in fact, not long ago, China's one of the senior executives of a corporation in China was jailed or was detained in Canada, and then it becomes a tit for tat. I jail one of your people, you jail one of mine.
So this world, what is happening to the world?
What is the world coming to?
那么来到我们这边, 啊, 新加坡很好吗? 马来西亚很好吗? 你说,
and then closer to home, is Singapore very in a good situation? Is Malaysia in a good situation?
好，你看现在马来西亚。 我们讲叫胜者为王，败者为寇，就说你得胜利了，你就对；你如果输了，你就变成罪人了。你看拿去跟马哈比就知道了。And
you see this fighting in Malaysia. And all you have to do is look as far as Mahathir and Anwar.
他是马来西亚人，你看到。 总理他失去，他失败之后，他就变成罪人了，他可能会被判刑的。And
the former prime minister, after having lost power, is now bound for jail.
我们不知道，但是这个问题来了。现在我们新加坡好吗？也不见得。我们前些时候马来西亚跟新加坡又为了那个美国这个斯里达的那个 airspace， 要不然就是。 那个托斯的那个港口争啊争啊，这个世界到底是变成怎么样子世界
？And of course, very recently, we are all familiar with the cross-border tensions that have arisen from maritime boundaries and extending those maritime boundaries into one another's territory.
为什么我们今天会跌入这个今天这么多问题
？How have we arrived at such a time where we've got so many problems.
我们有很多很多的问题，这些呢，你的答案呢，就决定你的世界观。
And in the midst of all those problems, your answer decides, or your answer reveals your worldview.
我很快的就问一些问题。
So I'll very quickly ask you a few questions.
我们的世界从哪里来？
Where does the world come from?
那么我们人与世界，这个我们的世界的关系是什么？
What is the relationship between man and the world?
我们需要工作，谁说我要工作？工作从哪来？工作的意义是什么
？Why do I have to work? Where does it come from? What meaning does it have?
婚姻从哪来？为什么要一男一女？为什么我不可以跟一只动物，或者不可以跟一棵树结婚吗
？What is marriage? Why does it have to be between man and woman? Why can't I marry a tree or an animal?
这个婚姻从哪里来？家庭从哪里来？家庭的观念是怎么样？说家庭是怎么样组成的
？Where in fact do families come from? What is the whole point of a family?
人从哪里来
？Where does man come from?
罪从哪里来
？Where does sin come from?
审判从哪里来
？What about judgment？
那么以色列从哪来？为什么神要选选以色列？为什么不要选选我？不要选选新加坡
？Where does Israel come from? Why is Israel the chosen people? Why didn't God choose Singapore?
我们从哪里来？现在我们要往哪里去
？Where are we going? Where have we come from?
我们应该怎么样活
？How should we live?
我们应该怎么办？
And what are we to do?
这些答案呢，就是你的世界观应该给你，有怎么样的世界观，就有怎么样的答案。
Your answers come from your worldview.
创世纪就给你这个世界观。
The book of Genesis gives you this worldview.
如果你好好读诵创世纪，你就知道我应该有的一个世界观。 就告诉你，我知道我是怎么样来的，我知道罪怎么来的，我知道审判怎么来的，这些所有的问题就是在创世里面讲的，所以创世纪非常的重要。The
book of Genesis is the foundation of that worldview because it tells you how I came about, how sin came about, and answers these questions.
它也告诉我们将来，不是很明显，有一点暗示将来会发生什么事情。
And it even hints at what is to come.
所以我们盼望我能够刺激你。
And so I hope that this has made you excited or interested in the book of Genesis.
让我稍微讲一下，创世纪是谁写的呢？
Let me quickly run through some other things. Who wrote the book of Genesis?
这个解经家有 scholar 讲很多，有些说是摩西，有些说不是摩西。对我来讲就是摩西。
You will have different opinions. Some people say Moses, some people say others. As far as I'm concerned, it's Moses.
因为主耶稣接受摩西是他。 他的作者我去介绍摩西之后，我不用太难的。
Because God has introduced Moses as the author, and I'm not going to question that.
因为当主耶稣提到离婚啊，提到要不要孝敬父母啊，全部都说摩西说。如果说耶稣把当时候这个摩西五经当作是摩西写的，我就接受了，其他的不重要。Because
when God talks about the ideas of divorce and marriage and all of that, he references Moses and he says, Moses says. And if he says Moses was the author of the Pentateuch, then that's good enough for me.
所以我们当然不是在研究这个的，我们也不用花太多时间。第二，它的时间呢，到底创世纪在什么时候写的，或者说创世纪形容的时间有多长呢？ 有些人是讲young earth, old earth，有些人讲很长，有些人讲几千万年，有些人讲到底是什么呢？你问我，我也没有答案。
What about timing? The book of Genesis throws up debates about young earth and old earth. If you ask me, I can't tell you the answer.
圣经很清楚，有黑夜，有白天，就算一天，就是一天。神用七天就是七天。
The Bible is, however, clear. There was day and there was night one day. If the Bible tells me that 7 days, I will take it as it.
为什么你要反对呢？反对说你不相信神迹，神可以用七天创造，其实他用一天就可以，他也不用一天，用一分钟。神说有就有，说没有就没有，就是这样。他如果是万有的神，他只要讲一句话就会成就，所以用七天就七天吧，没有大不了的问题。
But why would you question it? Because if God says it's 7 days, it's 7 days. God can use one day to create the earth. And there should be no curiosity about that.
那么有些人说，你知道吗？这个世界有几千万年。我说很简单，我上个礼拜我跟大家讲过，有些人不在这里，但是我现在再重复一遍。神创造亚当的时候，请问他是从创造一个婴孩开始呢，还是他创造一个成熟的亚当？
Some people would say, no, the earth is millions of years old, and it cannot be young. Now, for the benefit of those who weren't with us last week, I asked the question, when Adam was first created, how old was Adam?
当然神创造亚当的时候，他已经是一个成人的亚当。
Now, when God created Adam, he was adult Adam.
假设他是20岁。
Assuming, say he was 20 years old.
所以神创造亚当之后，过了一年，请问亚当是1岁还是21岁？
Now, a year after God creates Adam, how old is Adam? 1 or 21?
所以神创造世界的时候，他是创造一个成熟的世界，还是从零开始，然后他慢慢成长？不是的，所以我也不知道。但是呢，我们可以知道，神创造整个世界是一个成熟的世界，然后呢时间，然后你去研究它到底有多长，我也不知道。我们不需要去辩论这个，我只相信圣经的话。
Now, while we do not know the time frame of Genesis, we do, however, know that God created a mature earth.
当然，有人讲说，你从他的这个家谱里面的 genealogy 里面知道它里面有4000年、5000年，但是它圣经你要知道，圣经记载的时候是跳，有时候不是一个接一个，有时候是跳这几代的，所以你不能够完全知道那个时间性。
Now there is of course genealogy and generations, and you could estimate how old or how long this goes back to. But also be mindful that the Bible, in speaking of genealogy, sometimes skips generations, and so we cannot be absolutely certain.
然后我们来看其实创世纪的题材，就是这个文学题材，到底是什么呢？基本上你注意看，整本创世纪呢还没有那个 law was not given yet. 意思说整本创世纪只是预备。 让我们进入到出埃及记神给十诫这段圣经里面，所以他只是给你一些背景，知道原来摩西从哪里来，为什么会有这个以色列这个家族，从他从开始从去解释你有这个背景是知道的，因为创世纪呢本身没有给你所有的答案。Now
what about the genre of Genesis? Now let's not forget that Genesis doesn't introduce the law to you yet. It is the introduction to Exodus. And so let's not assume that all the answers are in Genesis.
所以在摩西还没有诞生之前，原来这个跟这个约瑟有关系。所以约瑟已经在埃及了，之后你要知道这些约瑟怎么会到埃及呢？所以他就回去告诉你，预备你，准备你知道。 将来神为什么会给这个创世纪啊，给这个这个世界。
Now when the story comes to Moses, we already see that Joseph had gone back to Egypt. How did Joseph go back to Egypt? All of this is setting up for the rest of the story.
好了，如果你这些你觉得刚才我所讲的东西太 too technical 太过技术性，没有关系。接下来讲这个 structure， 讲它的结构呢，就我要跟你解。整本创世纪呢很简单，只有两个阶段。你用这个结构去看呢，你就记得整本创世纪。
Now, if you think that all of what we just talked about is a bit too technical, let's focus on the next thing, which is structure. And really, it is just two things that you need to take note of to understand the entire book of Genesis.
整本创世纪基本上是分成两段，第一段呢就是一到十一章，就是指起源的历史，然后12章到25章是讲到列祖，就是亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各的历史。
Basically, Genesis can be broken up into two broad portions. The first is its primeval history from chapters 1 to 11, and then the patriarchal history from chapter 12 to chapter
15. 第一章到第十一章讲到起源的历史呢，有好几千人用十一章来解释。十二章到二十五十章呢，只用了300年的历史，用了这么多篇幅来解释。所以当然第后面那一段也是很重要。
Now from chapter 1 to chapter 11, that covers a time period of thousands and thousands of years. From chapter 12 to chapter 50, that whole chunk really represents just 300 years.
那么起源的历史呢，从一章到十一章，你只要记得四个故事就可以。这个四个是什么呢？
Quick summary of the primeval history from chapter 1 to 11, you only need to remember 4 F's.
第一章呢就是第一章开始的时候就是很多的定义，第一次神创造世界，神造太阳，直到月亮，直到树木，全部都是 number one， 全部都是第一个，因为是神起源的开始。
The first F is firsts, and this is where the first man was created, the first woman, the first murder. This was after all the first instance of creation.
所以第一章基本上就是神的创造。
So basically.Creation.
然后接下来呢，就是人的堕落。
The next one is the fall.
那他才知道亚当，神创造亚当跟夏娃，叫他不要吃上树上的果子，不是苹果树，你不要搞错啊。
And of course, we're all familiar with the fall, where God created Adam and Eve and told them that they cannot eat of the fruit. Now, it is not apple tree.
很多人一直都讲 apple tree， 不是哦，不是苹果树啊。苹果可以吃的。
A lot of stories we see it being depicted as an apple tree. No, you can't actually eat an apple.
所以神说那棵树上不可吃，但是人就你知道吗？很多人说神很不公平，为什么放一棵树上？我说神怎么会不公平呢？这边有这么多棵树你可以吃，你偏偏就吃那棵他不肯要你吃的，可见你的背叛心理就在那里。
And some people will say, "Wow, God's not fair. How can He deny them of that one tree?" But let me remind you that in the Garden of Eden, there were many, many trees of all sorts of fruits, and He only told them not to eat of just one. And the fact that you would complain about that one tree reveals the state of your heart.
如果你用 probability， 一棵对不知道一百棵，那其实你的半句几率很少，但是你就偏要选那棵，所以人堕落就从那边开始。
So actually, if you consider the probability of their fall, really, if you've got 100 fruit trees in the garden and you've got just one tree, then your chance of actually sinning is actually pretty low.
如果你说你不要放那棵树呢？如果你不放那棵树，人就不可能犯罪。
Now you might then say, why did you even put that in the garden? If you didn't put that in the garden, man could not possibly sin.
这样人就成为一个机器。
So that makes humans.Robot.
你要不要你的太太或者你的丈夫说我爱你，因为 program 我这样叫你。
So let me give you the analogy of a husband and wife. Would you want your spouse to not have a choice but to say robotically I love you?
所以这个问题就在这边了。神给人有这个机会，人就选择那个机会，这是背叛。但是背叛之后呢，神就要审判。所以你第一次的背叛，然后就第一次的审判。
And so, because of this, it introduced a problem in the story, and therefore there was the fall. And as that was the first sin, there was also the first judgment.
神就审判人，把他赶出伊甸园。
God judged man, and evicted or put Adam and Eve out of the garden.
但是在他出去之前，他去给他制造了一个皮衣，给他遮盖。
But before he put them out of the garden, he created skins to cover them up.
他怎么样有一个这个皮衣呢？一定是他杀了一条动物，然后杀了一只动物，然后来遮盖它。 就会流血，这个遮盖将来有意思。当那时候人说啊，这个就是耶稣基督，还没有，时间还没到。Now
obviously having to creating those skins will require God to kill an animal, and we will see that this is a foreshadowing of something in the future. Some people might say, oh, right there is Jesus Christ. Not yet.
因为在那时候还不是很清楚，只是来到新约才看出来。
Because it wasn't clear yet at that time, and we will only see clearly in the New Testament.
所以看到吗？这里一个人犯罪，被犯罪受惩罚，赶出去。但是出去的时候，哎，神又为他做了一些东西。So
we see that God created Adam and Eve. He told them not to eat of the fruit. They ate, they fell, and they were pushed out of the garden. But just before they left, He created skins to cover them.
你没有注意到，当人犯罪的时候，神没有马上把世界的人都杀掉呢，都受惩罚，但是还是给人家机会。
Do you notice that once man fell and sinned, God did not immediately destroy the whole world. He gave them an opportunity.
我们很注重圣经，所以你不打开圣经不可以。现在要你打开圣经了。Now
we have a focus on spending time in the Bible, and so we need to open the Bible now.
如果你看创世纪，你看这个第二章。
Look at Genesis chapter 2.
应该是第三章吧，第三章第二十二节。
Sorry, chapter 3, verse 22.
22节，耶和华神说：“那人已经与我们相似，知道善恶，而且恐怕他们生命所永远活着。耶和华就打发他，这个其实我不是要你看这个，看20节。亚当给妻子夏娃起名叫夏娃，因为她是众生之母。耶和华神为亚当和妻子用皮子做衣服给他们穿。”第20节。
Chapter 3, verse 20 says, the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them.
你们注意到神在审判，他说你要死，他说哦，他转过来跟他太太，你叫做众生之母。 Did I miss something?
Do you see that there's a bit of a dramatic shift? Just as God is judging Adam and Eve, Adam turns around to his wife to name her Eve because she's the mother of all living. Is there something missing here?
这边可能显然这边他给他盼望，所以他才叫做哦，你应该叫做Eve，因为我是众生之母。他给他有希望说，说后面不是马上死，而且还有会继续活下去。Now
apparently what has happened is that in the midst of this judgment, God has also given Adam and Eve hope. It is why Adam turns to his wife in the midst of it to say, you are Eve because you are mother of all living.
所以可见这边虽然有审判，有罪有审判，同时有希望。
And so we see that yes, though there was sin and because of sin judgment, there was also hope.
然后呢，在人类堕落之后呢，我们就让你们自己回去看圣经。接下来另外一个很重要的事情呢，就是来到这个洪水。
Now, after the fall, and I'll let you read this on your own, but the next milestone in Genesis is the floods.
神为什么要有这个洪水来灭世界呢？
Why did God bring the floods on the world?
所以这个呢，你就要看到这个第六章。
For this, you need to turn to chapter 6.
第六章第五节。
Chapter 6, verse 5.
第六章第五节。 耶和华见人在地上的罪恶很大，始终所思想的尽都是恶。耶和华就后悔给造人心中忧伤。耶和华，看第五节就好，因为当时人他说人所思想的尽都是恶。
Why did God send the floods? Verse 5 answers our question. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
所以在这边呢，我们就看到神。 因着人所想的东西全部都是罪，
And this tells us that because every thought of man was evil, God then sent the floods to judge the world.
所以呢，神就灭世界。当你看到人犯罪，神灭世界，灭世界之后呢，我们又发现什么呢？神又给人有盼望。
Now we see this motif again. There was sin, God destroyed the world with the flood, and yet again, God gives hope.
因为来到最后，神灭了世界之后呢，他又给他一个彩虹，说他不要用洪水来灭世界，这个是不是给人盼望呢？
Now remember that after the flood waters receded, God gave the sign of the rainbow. Is that not hope?
所以你会发现，咦，人犯罪，你看到人呢？ 不断的抵挡神犯罪，神审判世界，审判世界之后，神又给人家盼望。所以这个呢不断的出现，你有没有注意到，在读圣经的时候，这个不断的重复。
This motif keeps recurring throughout the Bible. Man sins, God judges, hope, God gives hope.
然后我们就来到十一章，这个世界的语言的大混乱。
Now this takes us to chapter 11 and the Tower of Babel.
然后，因为当时候人呢，就要全部聚集在一起。这个时候，你说，因为特别我们现在很注重什么呢？我们注重，哎呀，你知道吗？这中国这个是强权主义，我们要有民族主义。我告诉你，民族最好的时候就是记载在创世纪十一章。
Now, if we look at China, for example, there is this big focus now all over the world. There is dictatorship, and then there is this big focus on democracy.
所以我们说，哎呀，这个民族最好，我们要大家都重申，我们要自己的意见。
And everybody thinks democracy is the best, and everyone's opinions need to matter.
所以大家最同心合意就是记载在创世纪十一章。
But that is not a new concept because. The time when things were most democratic was in chapter
当时的人全部聚在一起说什么呢？我们要我们的名，我们不要耶和华的名。Because
at that time they came together and said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city. Let's make a name for ourselves."
所以神他，你看到第十一章第四节，他们来起来吧，我们来建造一座城，一座塔，通顶，塔顶通天，要传扬我们的名。
They say in verse 4, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And we see that because of that, God judges them and disperses them, gives them different languages that they can't understand each other and disperses them.
就他们被分散了，有没有希望？
Now they've been dispersed. What hope is left?
没有了，他们全部分散了世界。但是到十二章的时候呢，人类分散有各种各族各派各国的时候呢，神却招选了亚伯拉罕。
And when it seems like there is no more, there is no hope left, everyone speaks their own language, they disperse across the earth, we come to chapter 12, where a man by the name of Abram is chosen.
神就又给他新的希望。
God gives hope yet again.
我们还没有讲这个之前呢，你们有注意到这边这四个，这个四个三个， the fall, the flood, and the flood 里面呢有没有从？ 人类的堕落，洪水跟这个口音的变乱之后呢，你有没有看到一些不断的重复的这个问题？
Now, do you see in the last three Fs of that list, the fall, the flood, and the fuddle, referring to the Tower of Babel? Do you see this repetition of that motif?
你会看到人犯罪，神惩罚，然后神又给人家希望。你看到人，神不断的。 当人神惩罚人的时候呢，总是给他们一些希望。The
repetition of the motif of sin, judgment, and hope, and each time there was sin and judgment, God gave hope.
当这些故事不断的重复的时候，你会注意到他们有一些东西是重复的，而且出现一个 pattern， 一个模式出来，然后这个是不是将来要出现的一种态或者这个一个预表呢？
This pattern is revealed in the story, in the midst of that repetition, and establishes what is to be a type.
这个我们就是 typology， 神的预表可能就从这边来。
And what we're talking about here is typology。
如果你继续看《列王记》，这个 Kings 或者是 Chronicles， 你会出现很多不断的重复的。当时候的王行耶和华眼中看为恶的事情，看耶和华看为恶的事情，耶和华眼中看为恶的事情。
And you will, if you go on into Kings and Chronicles, you will see a continued repetition of how these kings did evil before the sight of the Lord, and this is repeated over and over again.
当然有一些好王行耶和华眼中看为正的事情，不过大部分都是行耶和华眼中恶的事情，神就降灾，然后他们又后悔，神又拯救他们，又降灾，后悔，神又拯救了，这个是不断的重复的。
Of course, there were good kings, but for the most part, they were evil kings, and God would send calamities on their kingdoms. They would repent, and God would provide hope, and they would do this over and over again.
所以你在读这个的时候呢，创世纪呢，甚至整本圣经，不断的这个不断的出现，这个 pattern， 这个模式不断的出现，人犯罪，神拯救他们。人安逸的生活之后又在犯罪，神又在拯救他们，不断的出现，不断的出现。这个，请问我们犯罪是不是这样？
This pattern isn't just confined to Genesis. You will see this throughout the whole Bible, where people fall and God redeems. People fall and God redeems. And let me ask you, is that not what our world looks like now?
像这个循环可以不可以解脱出来呢？
Can we escape from this vicious cycle?
所以当人犯罪的时候，亚当夏娃犯罪，然后挪亚的时代，人的全部犯罪，神灭了他们，给挪亚继续生存。挪亚的时代又是在犯罪，后来神说好，我拣选，当人的变乱口音的时候，世界这么多人的时候，我拣选亚伯拉罕，要从亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各的后裔，耶稣基督要重新的把这个事情全部解决掉。
Now we see this in Adam and Eve, and they fell. We saw this in Noah, where God wiped out the whole earth, and this continued pattern up to a point where God says at the book at the Tower of Babel, and He disperses them. He then chooses Abraham.
所以为什么神拣选亚伯拉罕呢？我们要知道将来从亚伯拉罕会出现以色列族，从出现以色列国，然后呢，我们就会发现耶稣基督是从这条线出来的。
And we see that from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God prepares a future. We see also that this is eventually going to be the line of Messiah.
所以可以这么讲，前面是起初的历史，或者是这个是人类的历史，后面的列祖的历史，可以说信心伟人的开始。
And so in primeval history, we can call it the history of man. With patriarchal history, we can call it
man of faith.
The men of faith.
所以从那边开始，所以这些人是包括谁呢？亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各，然后来到耶稣。
And these men are Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and eventually Joseph.
所以你只要记得这四个人的名字，你就把整本这个创世纪看完了。
Now, all you have to do is remember these four names, and it would have taken you to the end of the book.
前面四个记得哪四个 F 吗？
You remember the four F's at the start?
创造、堕落，对不对？那个洪水，然后呢，这个变乱、口音、混乱。
The first, the fall, the flood and the flurry, the fuddle.
所以呢，你就会知道这个呢，就已经这个就是前半部，后半部呢，大家很熟，亚伯拉罕、雅各，亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各、约瑟，整本创世纪就已经记下来了。
Now with these four F's, you've got in the second part of Genesis, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and you put those two things together, and you have the whole book of.
所以我们就看到这个就是它的结构。
And so we see that this is basically the structure.
所以呢，我们已经讲了它的作者、它的时间、它的题材、它的结构，我们已经这个就整本这个创世纪已经记下来。
And so we've seen the author, we've seen the timing, the genre, and the structure, and that really covers all of Genesis.
这主题是什么呢？
But what is the theme?
你看整本创世纪它的主题要讲什么呢？
what as we go through the whole book is the theme that is being communicated to us.
神创造世界来做什么?
What did God create the world for?
神创造整个世界要人代表神掌管整个世界。
God created the world that man would rule over the world.
这个就是神原本的计划。
That was the original plan.
你看到这个创世纪一章二十七节，他说他要这些人，亚当夏娃治理跟管理这地上 rule and have dominion.
And you see that in Genesis 1:27-28, where God commands Adam and Eve subdue the earth, have dominion.
所以基本上弟兄姐妹，我们要管理整个世界，不是世界管理我们。
So brothers and sisters, we need to be the ones having dominion over the world, and not the world over us.
但是今天呢，我们让世界来支配我们，不是我们来支配世界。
But no, today the world has dominion over us, and not us over it.
What is environmentalist? 世界环保，环保什么环保？我们是世界主人，我们是为神管理这个世界，不是让世界来管理我们。
There is the concept of environmentalism, but we are called to control the earth. We are called to own it and have dominion over it, not the earth over us.
但是人犯罪之后呢，主权去了哪里？
But when man fell, where did that dominion go to?
去了哪里？
Where did it go to?
人应该掌管世界，结果呢，人听了魔鬼的话，这个世界的主权就落在魔鬼的手中。
Man was meant to have dominion over the world, but when man listened to the words of Satan, that dominion was given over to Satan.
所以圣经主耶稣提到这个世界是世界的神，这个世界已经是被撒旦魔鬼来控制，所以这个世界掌握在那个撒旦的手中。
And that is why Jesus refers to Satan as the God of this world.
所以，但是来到启示录的时候呢，你看第十一章，你看启示录第十一章。
But when we get finally to the book of Revelations 11, turn there if you will please.
启示录第十一章，我们就看到主耶稣将来呢要掌管整个世界。
We will see in chapter 11 that Jesus will one day rule over the world.
你看第十一章第十五节。
If you look at chapter 11 verse 15.
第十一章十五节说，第七号天使吹号的时候，他天上有大声说，世上的王，世上的国成了主我主和耶稣基督的国，他要做王，直到永永远远。
It says, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ.
神起初创造世界的时候，是要人来掌管，结果人失败了，全掉入撒旦的手中，魔鬼的手中。但是神将来呢，耶稣基督要再来呢，重新的 kingdom of this world become a kingdom， 神的国度要落在。 耶稣基督，耶稣是谁呢？他是第二个亚当，再一次落到人的手中，因为耶稣基督代表人来掌管，所以我们就看到神的计划又恢复到原形。Now
when God first created the world, His plan was that dominion rested in the hands of men. Man fell, and dominion was handed over to Satan. Now when we reach Revelations 11, we see that Jesus will come again, and that dominion will once again fall in the hands of man, because Jesus is the second Adam, and we will come back to the original plan of God.
但这个耶稣基督从哪里来?
So where does Jesus Christ come from?
我们注意回去就是到亚当的后裔，亚当、以撒、雅各、约瑟。 然后整本圣经就告诉你这条线呢，这个主耶稣呢，就是从这个的子孙来到最后，因为越来越多的这个指向将来的基督就是从这个祖先而来的。If
you trace back to Genesis and we see Adam and we see Abraham, Isaac, all the way until Jesus, that tells us that these people were off, that Jesus was off this line.
我现在时间的关系，我们就先跳过去啊。我们要告诉大家，这个呢，有没有看见？我们今天要讲的是圣经神学。
Now because of time, we'll quickly summarize this. But What we're talking about here today is biblical theology.
意思说你在读圣经的时候呢, 你要知道那些事情不断地重复, 是不是有一个同样的主题呢?
What we're saying is, as we're reading this and we see those repetitions and motifs, is there not a similar theme throughout?
人犯罪, 神实行审判, 然后神给他希望, 这个希望是什么呢? 就是主将来主耶稣要拯救我们脱离这些罪恶, 使到我们重新回到神的国度里面。
We see this repetition of sin, judgment, and hope, and we keep seeing it. And the point here is that eventually we will be given the hope of Jesus Christ.
当我们在读的时候呢, 你要注意这个不断的重复的这个, 所以你在读圣经的时候, 用大块, big chunk, 不要读一节一节, 一章一章, 十章, 十章这样读的时候呢, 你就会发现它有很多重复的主题。
So when you deal with the Bible, do not look at it in verse by verse or in individual verses. Look at it in chunks of text, in context, so that you can see these patterns.
所以用可能十章一起读，二十章一起读，或者一下子读完整本，这个你就会看见它有很多不断的出现的这个模式，这个 pattern.
And if you read the Bible in chunks of text, maybe in chapters of 10 or at a whole book at one sitting, you will then see, or it will become apparent to you what those patterns are.
我举个例子,
let me give you an example.
圣殿,
the temple.
你们注意圣殿, 大家想到圣殿是想到所罗门的圣殿。
Now when you think of the temple, you think of Solomon's temple.
在所罗门的圣殿还没有出现之前, 它有一个, 这个 tabernacle, 这是, 会幕。
And before Solomon's temple, you had the tabernacle.
在创世纪有没有会幕啊?
Is there a tabernacle in Revelation?
好像没有。
Doesn't seem to be.
但是你要知道神创造宇宙万物的时候, 那个整个就是一个会幕, 就是一个圣殿。
But you must understand that when God created the heavens and the earth, that was the tabernacle.
为什么呢? 因为人就在这个神所创造的世界里面, 来敬拜他, 服侍他, 敬拜服侍他的地方就是圣殿。
And I say this because God created the world that man will be in it, live in it, to worship Him. And where man worships God is the temple.
所以在神创造伊甸园的时候呢, 整个伊甸园就是会幕，就是圣殿。
And so when God created the Garden of Eden, the whole garden was in fact the temple, the tabernacle.
但是人犯罪就离开了，没有。
But when man sinned, he left.
神给他一个会幕。
God gave him the tabernacle.
然后神将来这个会幕变成了圣殿。
This tabernacle becomes the temple eventually.
那么当然这个圣殿被毁，然后重新建。到以西结的时候，来到启示录的时候，请问启示录有没有圣殿？
The temple was destroyed, and then when we move forward and rebuild, and then when we move forward into Ezekiel and Revelation, is there a temple?
你要注意这些圣殿也有不同的。
You need to see that the temple had different forms.
所以这些圣殿的这些它的里面的内容有不同，这个从圣经神学就知道。是的，我们在读的时候，我们知道这些圣殿的不断的变化。来到主耶稣的时候，主耶稣说圣灵住在我们里面，我们就是圣灵的殿。但是来到启示录的时候，到天堂的时候呢，原来整个宇宙万物都是神的殿，因为耶和华就住在我们当中，我们就在那里服侍他。
Again, we see that the temple has taken on different forms throughout the course of history. When Jesus Christ came, he said that his body was the temple. When we finally get to Revelation, we will see that all of this, all of the earth will be a temple.
那么我们在讲到圣经神学、历史神学、系统神学有什么不同呢?
Now we talk about biblical theology, but how is that different from historical theology? How is that different from systematic theology?
我们这样讲的，我让我解释历史神学跟系统神学之后，你就对圣经神学很有认识。Now
when I explain to you what historical and systematic theology are, you will then come to see very clearly what biblical theology is.
系统神学基本上就是讲说整本圣经对一个主题的教导，它把所有的 holistically 就是整个拿起来。
Systematic theology is how the Bible and all of Scripture deals with a specific topic.
所以那个就是系统神学.
That is systematic theology.
历史神学是在 church history, 在整个教会历史里面, 这个 doctrine 这个教义这个神学呢，怎么样发展，这个叫做历史神学。
Historical theology is that it looks at theology from the history or from the history of the church and traces how a particular doctrine develops along that historical line.
但是圣经神学是什么呢？就是说，原来这个题目，比如说圣殿，旧约里面的圣殿跟新约的圣殿不同，它怎么样发展？不是在教会的历史，是在整本圣经的历史。哦，这个以赛亚是这样看，以西结是这样看，主耶稣是这样看，启示录约翰是这样看，从这边你就看出原来这个整个圣经历史，圣经的神学是这样来的。
Biblical theology however traces the development of something within the Bible. So where in the Bible does it begin and how does it develop throughout the scriptures?
我这样讲的意思是要盼望你在读创世纪也好，创世整本圣经的时候，大量的读，读的多的时候，多思想的时候，哦，你看到不只是看到一个人的问题，看到一个小界，看到一个国家，你是看到整本圣经原来不断的重复这些主题。
Now I'm trying to encourage you to read the Bible in a way that is not narrow-minded. I want you to look at the whole picture that you might come to see what the patterns are.
所以你看到，你注意看到不断的重复的一些事情，你会看到一些重复的句子、重复的词汇、重复的概念，你就知道原来这个整本圣经在讲这件事情，所以它不断的在重复。但是每一次重复的时候，可能加多一些资料，比如说亚伯拉罕的这个约 ，the covenant of Abraham， 来到这个大卫的时候又加了什么？来到新约又加什么？他原来不断的在扩大，在扩大的时候，你就看到原来同一个东西不断的在扩大。
Now as these things repeat in the Bible, sometimes things are added to them. For example, when God gave Abraham a covenant, as you move on to the covenant He gave to David.You will see that new things and different elements are added to that covenant such that it continues to grow and the scope of it expands.
所以将来呢就出现，这个就是 typology， 将来出现要来的事情会同怎么样发生，我们叫做预表。
This type of typology then gives you a glimpse at what will happen in the future.
所以我们会看见圣经里面不断出现人不断的背叛审判，然后就救赎，然后就恢复原来的这种情形。
This is the motif in the Bible: the rebellion, judgment, deliverance, restoration.
所以当你看创世纪的时候，四个 F 还有四个列祖，你就不断的出现这些不断的出现，是不是神在指将来呢？神要拯救世界的时候是通过什么方法？以色列就是从亚伯拉罕的后裔来的，神的计划不断的出现的时候呢，有不断的新的资料让我原来圣经可以这样看，越看越有趣，你越看你可以看出很多人没有好好读圣经的人没有看到的东西。
As we look at these elements of Genesis, the four Fs as well as the patriarchs, we seeThe progressive unfolding of that story, we also see that Israel comes out of Abraham and eventually Jesus will come from there.
所以在这边呢，我们给大家回去刚才我们所讲的，就是我们盼望你在读圣经的时候呢，特别是在读整个事情的时候，你注意到创世纪的目的是给我们看见什么呢？神故事的开始，我们叫做 mega narrative， 从这边开始，将来创世纪的结束其实不是圣经的结束，它只不过是一个开始，要借到这个出埃及记，然后不断的借下去。
So let's come back to our earlier slide. We said that the book of Genesis really is the start of the mega narrative of God.
所以呢，我们如果记得你用这个结构去读呢，你就会把这个创世纪记下来。
And if you look at the book of Genesis using this structure, you will then very easily recall what it's all about.
所以第一就是起源的历史，第二呢就是列祖的历史。
And so the first big chunk is the primeval history, and the second is the patriarchal history.
那么起源的历史呢，就是世界的创造、世界的堕落、世界的洪水跟世界的这个混乱。
And that primeval history involves the four F's, the first, the fall, the flood, and the puddle.
然后呢，最后呢，这个后面第二个列祖的历史呢，就是这四个人，你要记得他下来， 亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各、约瑟，你就把整个创世纪。
The patriarchal history, which covers from chapter 12 to chapter 50, the end of the book, involves four main characters: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And if you have the four F's in these patriarchs, you've got the whole of Genesis.
那么我要回去给你看，刚才我们讲过的这个，你就知道整本圣经最主要的它的整个结构，整个这个情节就是。 创造、堕落、救赎，然后他还原，所以整个历史呢，启示录就是给我们看到他恢复到神的创造，神的旨意必然成就。Now
was this not this the progression of the story that we saw just now, where we started with creation and progressed to the fall, redemption, and eventually God will restore His creation?
你把这个当做一个大框架 framework 去读圣经，你就会读出。 神的旨意原来是这样，我知道我的世界观，我们知道整个 mega history mega narrative 或整个大故事是朝这个方向去，我们就在神的故事里面正在扮演这个角色。Now
if you go back to the Bible with this framework and read it through this lens, you will see this progression quite clearly throughout Scripture, and then you will also understand where we fit in this broad plan.
让我们再一次感谢主的带领跟他的救赎，让我们知道我们将来有盼望，而且主耶稣基督必然再次回来。
We thank God that we can see this. We thank God for His plan that He intends to restore creation, and we thank Him that we are part of that plan. Let us pray.